Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to be looking at the bridegroom comes. He cometh. What we are waiting for. We're waiting for the return of Messiah. This return is complicated. You know, the line in the scriptures, the timelines in the scriptures are, I have to go back before the Most High as I look at this. The seven thunders, the seven trumpets, the seven vials. What is saying to me in my spirit on this morning that these line up together. They are not separate events, but they are happening together. And so we're going to do this from a standpoint on this morning that we're just going to look at his coming. And then I'm going to go back and restudy Revelation, the book of Revelation and all the chapters to line up the prophecies with the seven thunders, with the seven angels, with the seven trumpets, with the seven vials of judgment. All these things line up together, and I do not believe that they are separate events, but that they are actually occurring, I guess I could say it this way, because of the significance of each event and the players in each of the events, John is actually recording the different players in these events and what they're doing. But these things are going on at the same time. So when the first angel sounds, the first seal in the book is broken, the first vial of judgment is poured out, so forth and so on. And so, you know, I'm asking the Most High to reveal it to me and show it, you know, if that is the case, that he show it to me and line it up. Nevertheless, we have scripture that tells us when Messiah is going to return, but not time. Okay, he tells us the events that are going to be going on in the world. But he doesn't tell us, you know, the day and the hour and the minute of this timing. He says it's not given. So we're going to look into this because we're looking in. We're looking into the Galilean wedding. And we talked about the bride last night, and, you know, she accepted the cup of the new covenant. She drank from it. She accepted it. And then she's in a wait state. And while she's waiting, she's preparing for the return of her husband-to-be. He's her husband right now, but they have not consummated the marriage. And so she's preparing her wedding gown. She is, you know, preparing her bridesmaids. The city is preparing for the return of the bridegroom. And so we looked at all that last night. On this morning, because the next thing that would happen after she's preparing, she's waiting for the return of the bridegroom. And so Messiah says, I go to prepare a place for you, that that where I go, there shall you be. In my Father's house there are many mansions or many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. So we are waiting for him to prepare the place. And, you know, people think that we're going there, but we're not going there. It's coming here. Okay. It's coming here to the earth. So we want to look at his return, his coming back. Okay. Now, when he first comes back, the church is teaching that, you know, the saints are quote unquote raptured into heaven, okay? But we're going to look and see what the scriptures say eventually in that regard. I'm just on today, I just want to cover, what I want to cover are what the scriptures say, that when is Messiah returning, what event we're supposed to be looking for, one event, but there's many events. That's why it says watch. You don't know the exact time, but watch. Know the events that are supposed to be happening in the world. And if you are a faithful servant, and if you are studied in the Word, he says, then you should have some kind of clue that it's about to happen, but you won't know the exact time. Okay, you won't know the exact time. So let us go ahead and start on this morning. We will go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and then we will jump into the precept. And this is the bridegroom cometh. That's the next step in the wedding. He goes off. He prepares a place for his bride. When his father gives him okay, you can go pick up your bride now. Then he can go and pick her up. Messiah said that he goes away and that he's only coming back when, from the standpoint of the Father says it's okay to come back. So we're going to look at these things in the scriptures on today. Okay? All right. Let me have the ladies to cover their head. Any men listening, uncover your head. And let us go before the Most High, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 20-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank You on this morning, and we glorify You, we lift You up. We magnify Your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify Your name, for truly You are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise, Father. And we take this day to bow down before You and to acknowledge and to honor You, as You have commanded Your people, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Yah. Glory to Your name. Glory to Your name. Glory to Your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercy. We thank You for life and health and strength today. We thank You for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe Your Shabbat, a day of rest that You have ordained that Your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that You would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that You lead us not into temptation, but that You deliver us from evil. We ask that You hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep Your statutes, Your laws, and Your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, You have said that Your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to You, and You have walked contrary to us. But if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that You have placed upon us to all the nations of the world, that You would once again turn Your eyes and Your ears toward Your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to You and that You have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that You have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that You will wake them and give them an unction to come and keep Your statutes, Your laws, and Your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that You might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for You alone. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that You call a Messiah, that they would hear Your voice and that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that You would smile upon this work and that You would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
I'm not proud of, but I'm so glad that he's willing to forgive me of my sins. And I'm so glad, oh, cause I don't stand a chance if it's based on my goodness. And I don't stand a chance if it's all about me. So now I'm leaning and depending on the fact that he died for me. I'm so and I know it, but I'm so glad, yeah, that he had a change of plans in my future. I'm so glad, cause I ain't stand a chance with the way that I was living. I ain't stand a chance, only thinking about me. So now I'm leaning and depending on the fact that he died for me. So
you are my shield.
me. Oh yeah, I am weak. I am so weary. I watered my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed cause of grief for so many years. Every day I throw my prayers up. I never did get an answer. Could it be that you are angry with me? I still praise you according to your righteousness. How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Now reveal yourself.
Times of trouble, you are the king. There's no other besides you. You are my redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yeah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself to me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, to be. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, oh, oh. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Yah, reveal yourself.
Trumpets on today, but we're going to establish some foundation first. end this. But at the last trump is when Messiah is supposed to return. Okay, at the last trumpet, or in the last trumpet, or at the end of the last trumpet, because there's some events that happen with these trumpet blowing. And so we're going to look at these things on today. But right now, what I want us to do is go to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to get verses 36 through 44, Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Because the Most High says that we can't know the exact hour. We can't know the exact minute. We can't know the exact day. Why? Because it's reserved to the Father. It's reserved unto the Most High to know that day and from that position. And so he didn't even give it to Messiah to reveal it when it was going to be, to say, these are the events that are going to be going on in the last days. Okay? And that what? So we know in the marriage supper of the Galilean marriage supper, the bridegroom and his father comes to the father of the bride, and they negotiate a contract that's called a covenant. Okay? And in the covenant, he says, the bridegroom is saying what all he's going to do for the bride. And he pays a dowry. And then if she and her father agree, her father can agree on it. But she has a choice, and under this ceremony, she can refuse. I don't like that deal. And she can push the cup away from her, the cup of wine that her and the bridegroom drink. Messiah offered this cup to his disciples during the Last Supper, and said, this is the cup of the testimony of the new covenant, the new contract. They could have refused that, but they were following him, they believed in him, and they accepted the cup, and that started the new covenant. Every time that we do a communion service, where we are taking the cup and we're breaking the bread and we're drinking the cup, we are actually practicing that wedding ceremony, and we are accepting the wedding proposal from Messiah. We're accepting that and reaffirming it every time we take it. That yes, we agree to the contract, and we're going to do what the contract requires us to do, because we're going to receive the promises that are within the contract. And we're going to become the bride of Messiah. Then the bridegroom and his father, if the bride accepts, then the bridegroom and his father, they leave, and they return to the bridegroom's father's house. And the bridegroom then begins to prepare a room addition to his father's house. And while the bridegroom is doing that, his wife-to-be is preparing herself. So that's what we covered on last night, her preparing herself to be taken by her bridegroom, her future husband. He's her husband at this point, but they have not consummated the marriage. She's waiting for him to add the room on and to come and get her. Now, while she's waiting, he's preparing the room, but even after he finishes preparing the room, he can't just come and get her. He can't come and get her until his father says. And traditionally, this was done in the nighttime. It could be in the beginning of the night. It could be in the middle of the night. It could be as it dawned toward the next day, like the sun coming up. But it was a surprise to the bridegroom, to the bride, and to that city. Okay, it was a surprise. So nobody knew exactly when the bridegroom's father was going to say, it's okay to go pick up your bride. Now the father says, it's okay. And this precept is the bridegroom cometh. Okay, so let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, let's get verse 36. Starting in verse 36. And I want to make sure that people understand that I'm not trying to come back, because the Most High says, you won't know the exact hour, the day. But of that day and of an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this was part of the Galilean marriage ceremony, and Messiah was using this and saying this is the way it's going to be. No man knows the hour or the day, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father. But as the days of Noah were, the days of Noah. Now, we need to hear this because, you know, we got all kind of doctrines and stuff and people trying to predict, you know, what's going to happen. And Messiah tells us here, first, no man knows the hour, the day or the hour, only the Father. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So now hear this. So Noah, the people were multiplying in the earth. They were being married. They were procreating. They were having children. They were going about life as though life wasn't about to come to an end. This is the way they always knew things. This is the way things were going to continue to be. Ain't nothing going to happen. Noah did not tell them that destruction was coming. Noah said, y'all better start obeying the commandments of the Most High. But he never told them that destruction was coming. They had never seen rain and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, you ain't going to know. I'm going to come like a thief in the night. I'm going to come without warning. So you can't, you know, all of a sudden wait until, oh, he's going to be back here January the 30th, 2024. So I'll start getting ready in December. I'll start getting ready the 1st of January. He says, you're not going to know the day or the hour. And it's going to come without a warning. So just like it was in the days of Noah, when that door on that ark closed, and it started raining, them people didn't have a clue. Same way it's going to be in the end times. So shall his coming be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, I'm not going to go into any depth in this, but, you know, the scriptures tell us that the angels are going to come and remove the wicked. They're not going to come and take the righteous out. They're going to come and remove the wicked. But I'm going to leave that right there. I'm not going to go into any detail on that. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch. Again, he's telling you to watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your master does come, your Lord does come. You don't know the hour, so you got to watch. And what are you watching for? You're watching for the signs of his return. And, you know, he's telling us, and we're going to go into that because we got to make sure that we're not worried about things we ought not be worried about and that we worry about things that we should worry about. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your master, your Lord, does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house, and I'm going to use you as, you know, if you're a good man and you are a householder, then you're going to be watching over your house. If the good man of the house had known in what watch, or what time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up, to be broken into. So if you knew that somebody was going to break into your house and you knew what time they were going to come and break into your house, you'd be waiting on them. Now, you ain't breaking in here. I got something for you. Therefore, be you also ready for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Now, let's stop there. So, we don't know what time he's coming. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but we're supposed to be watching. What are we watching for? We're not watching the clock. We're watching the signs of the times. What we're watching, he tells us what events are going to be going on in the world. That's what we're watching for his return. And it says, no man knows the day or the hour. Only the Father knows that. So we're not going to try to predict a day or an hour, but we're watching for the signs of the time. what events are supposed to be going on in the world. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For Yah himself, or Yeshua himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when he comes back, he's going to descend with the trump of Elohim, the trumpet, okay? And it says that the last trumpet, the dead in Christ, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So it says here in 1 Thessalonians that Messiah is going to descend with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those two events go together. It tells us that it's going to be at the last trump. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yeshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yeshua. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, when we go up into the air, whenever this happens, whenever that last trumpet happens, when he returns, we don't know exactly when that time is. Go to Matthew chapter 24. But we know that he's going to return at the last trumpet, which means that we don't know when the last trumpet is going to actually blow. Okay? But it gives us, you know, it tells us about these trumpets. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through, we're going to read down through 25, 26. We're going to read all the way to 31. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read down through verse 31. And then we're going to go into the book of Revelation, chapter 8. From there, we're going to spend some time in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. And then the rest of this will be in separate lessons, because when Messiah returns, he is going to, you know, there's some things that are going on before then. So there is a belief that when he, quote unquote, and you won't find this word in scripture, rapture, when we are caught up into the air with him, people believe that that's when the marriage supper takes place. But there are some things that happened before then that, you know, people believe that they're not going to go through the tribulation. But we're going to go through the tribulation. Okay? And so we got to have some understanding here. Matthew 24 and verse 1. And Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Now, the disciples are, you know, they're enamored. They are amazed at the temple. And the temple looks marvelous. It's a thing of beauty. And I think it took 26 or 46 years to build. I'd have to go back and look it up again. Okay. And Yeshua said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, it's a beautiful house, and the disciples are marveling at it. But Messiah is saying, hey, this is going to be destroyed. And why is it going to be destroyed? If you want to know why it's going to be destroyed, you can go to Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. Because they fornicated and slept with other gods in the house of the Most High. Said, I don't want this house. Y'all been sleeping in the bed with other gods in my own house. So I'm going to tear this down. I don't want this. Okay, another story. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. Now, this is not knowledge that was given to the masses. The disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall all these things be? When is all this going to happen? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? So now he's going to answer them. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So this is what we need to know right here, okay, when his coming is. He's not going to give us a time. He's going to tell us about some events. You got to know what they are because they're not all as clear as you might think. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So let no man deceive you. There are going to be many people that come saying that they're me, saying that they got the truth, saying that they know when I'm going to return. And you shall hear of war and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. Now, let me back up a second. There was a brother sent me a video a day or two ago, and it's called, let me look this up real quick. Hopefully I still have it up. Let me go into my email real quick. Because this is exactly about, you know, what it's actually talking about the end time, but it's talking about, you know, the return of Messiah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to see if I can find it from him. Okay, but nevertheless, I can't find the video right now. But he's talking about the return of Messiah and how, you know, the world is saying that, you know, Messiah's already here. I'm like, how are they saying that? But there are, you know, many people saying it, that he's already here. Well, if he's already here, there's supposed to be some things that are happening. But let's look at this. So he already says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Secondly, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't be worried about all these wars you're hearing about. Russia and Ukraine, China and what is that island that they want? Taiwan, the United States and Russia. Don't be worried about this stuff. Don't be troubled by it. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So all through time, from the time that he said this, all those wars and rumors of wars, even in our time, he said, don't worry about them. They must happen. Don't be troubled by that. For nation or ethnic group shall rise against ethnic group, and kingdom or country against country. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse or different places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. So this has been going on a minute. He says, hey, don't worry about it because things are only going to get worse and worse and worse. And it's not going to get quickly, they're not going to happen fast in the beginning. Okay, but don't worry about those things. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations or ethnic groups for my name's sake. Say you're a Hebrew Israelite. The world don't like that. And Israel has to, you know, own up to who it is. But the world don't like you saying that you're a Hebrew Israelite. Ethnic groups shall rise against ethnic group. And then those that believe in Messiah and believe in keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and who are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the world is going to come against us soon. Okay? Trust that. Jacob's trouble, that's coming. Part of all this. Defend it and shall betray one another. Now, you can't be hated because you're a Hebrew Israelite. You got to be hated because for his name's sake. So let me drop back to that. For his name's sake, because a lot of us, you know, we get caught up in us. But the truth of the matter is, if we're not preaching and teaching him and hated for his name's sake, it don't matter if you're a Hebrew. Okay? And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So he's telling you, hey, there are going to be many people saying a lot of stuff. This is how you do this. This is how you calculate that. This is the time that, you know, all kind of things. He says, but most of them, if not all of them, are going to be false. They're going to deceive many people. And because iniquity, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because people don't, you know, everybody's making up their own standards. Everybody's making up their own rules. They're not following the rules of the Most High. We see that today. All nations have their own laws. And then you got nations that make laws that are direct conflict with the laws of the Most High. And many people don't know what to believe, don't know what to follow. So they're following their own mind. They're following what they believe is to be correct. And people are becoming cold in their heart. They don't really have genuine love, one for another. The love of many shall wax cold. They won't have a fervent heat, one for another, or for the Most High. In fact, they will be against the Most High, because they'll be against his law. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So you got to know what you're supposed to be enduring in. We talked about that one of the attributes that the bride had to have. She had to have endurance. She had to be faithful. And so she's preparing herself. She's learning about her husband to be in what his ways are. And she's patient because, you know, he can come at any time. Well, it's been a month now. He ain't back. It's been 2 months now, 3 months, 4 months. When is he coming back? I'm tired of waiting. No, you got to wait and endure because you don't know when he's going to return. He can return at any time. But it ain't even in his hands. It's in the hands of his Father. Endure to the end. Full of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, all ethnic groups. Then shall the end come. So until the true gospel is taught to all the nations, the end is not coming. So he says that has to happen. The true gospel. The fear of the Most High. Keep his commandments. That Messiah came and died for your sins. And that once you enter into the contract with him, you can't continue in sin. You can't continue. Because if you do, then you break the contract with him, you yourself, and you're kicked out of the contract. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy, let him understand. The abomination of desolation. Something in the temple, in the place of Messiah, in the place of the Most High. Now, this also tells us that Messiah is referencing this scripture by Daniel the prophet. It also tells us that the third temple has to be in place. Whoever builds it. It has to be in place, whether it's built by Israel or whether it's built by the Gentiles. It has to be in place. Because you can't get the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place if the holy place don't exist, not unless the holy place is our heart. That's the only other way you can interpret that or translate it. If we are the temple and we are worshiping something else, in place of the Most High in our heart, the holy place. And I truly believe that this is in reference to the third temple being rebuilt before the return of Messiah. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child. And to them that give suck in those days. Woe unto them that have children or that are breastfeeding. Because it's hard to run and to flee, especially if you're fleeing on foot with a child. You got to carry them. Well, pray you that your flight be not in the winter. Pray that it don't be in the winter, and neither on the Sabbath day. Now imagine that you are where you're at. And it's the middle of the winter, January, below zero. Or if you're in the south, even if it's close to freezing, we're not used to that kind of weather. But if you had to travel with that and you didn't return for no clothes, you didn't return, you know, to pick up nothing, you were out riding around, walking around, and then you see the sign that says, it's time to get up out of here. Time to run. Get away from the city. Why? Because destruction is coming. To make, pray that it's not on the Sabbath day. Pray that it's not in the winter, because you're going to honor the Sabbath even if you run it. The Most High said, there ain't no excuse. If you die for my sake, you gain your life. If you try to save your life and you break my commandment, you die in your sin. I'm not going to remember any of your righteousness. You died in your sin. I'm not going to remember any of your good works. I'm only going to remember that you died in your sin. He tells us that in Ezekiel. Tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So this is the great tribulation. Now, the churches are teaching that the pastors in the churches, the Christian, quote-unquote Christian churches, are teaching that the church itself won't be here for this. I can show you in the scriptures where, hey, if the church is not here, who are these elect people that are being persecuted and killed? Who are the saints that are being killed? Why does he say blessed are those who are in Messiah at this time that die in Messiah? Not supposed to be here. Okay, so we'll talk about that another time. So he says, this is going to be a great tribulation. This is the signs that we're supposed to be watching out for. Something so terrible that, you know, you're not going to see storms like this. There ain't been no storms like this. There ain't been no hail fall from the sky like this. There ain't been, you know, the oceans are dead. The trees are dead. All kind of things have happened. But we're looking for not the tribulation. We're looking for his return. He said there's going to be some things that happen before his return. Watch for these things. Because you don't know the exact day or the hour. Watch. Be prepared. You may not even be alive, but you don't know. So we as the bride waiting for the bridegroom to return, we're supposed to be watching for these things. Now he says, and except those days shall be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. Now, wait a minute. What flesh is he talking about? He's not worried about sinners. He's not worried about those that are lost. He's worried about those that are supposed to be his. For the elect's sake, those days, for those that he chose, those days shall be shortened. So his elect are going to go through this. And a lot of them are going to be killed. So wait a minute, we ain't supposed to be here. Then if any man shall stand to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now this is after the tribulation of those days. So you got to go through it. And then somebody's going to say, lo, there he is. He's over there. He's in the woods over there. He's in this country. He's in that country. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The Most High shows the very elect what's going on. Don't fall for that. Don't be fooled by that. That's not me. But if you are not the elect, you're going to believe it's him. And you're going to follow after it. Now remember, he's not telling this to the masses. He's telling this only to his disciples. He says, now behold or remember, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. believe it not. People are going to be desperate for the return of Messiah. But this really sets up the return of Antichrist. Many false prophets, many false Christ. But this is ultimately setting up the return for Antichrist. So that many believe, if they're not filled with the Ruach, if they aren't keeping the statutes, law, and commandments, they're going to want a way out. And Antichrist is going to come performing miracles and signs and wonders, and they're going to fall for them. But Messiah said, my elect are not supposed to be fooled by this. My bride is not supposed to be fooled by this. You're not supposed to fall for this false husband. This man that claims their husband, he looks like him, he sounds like him, he's doing things like him, but he ain't him. There's some things he can't duplicate. And you need to know what they are. Now, he's going to tell you what you need to look for. If you don't see this happen, you know it's not him. It's what you're watching for. Verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You're going to see him in the sky coming from east to west. And it's going to be a miracle that Antichrist cannot perform. He can't do it. He's not going to be, Messiah's not going to be born of a woman again. He's not going to come as a child again. He's going to come in his glory. The sun and the moon and the stars aren't going to compete glory. They're going to be darkened. Only the light you're going to see in the heavens is him coming. No sun, no moon, no stars. It's the sign that you're supposed to be looking for. And he's going to come. He's going to be so bright. It's going to be like the coming of the sun that shines in the sky. Brighter than that. The sun is not going to compete with him. As I said, the moon is not going to compete. The stars are not going to compete. But the earth is going to continue to rotate. But the sun that's going to come up is not the sun that we see burning in the heavens right now. It's going to be Messiah that comes up. This is the sign we're supposed to be watching for. If you don't see that, don't matter where they say where he's at. He's over in the desert. He's over in this, the Holy of Holies over here. He is in the secret chambers. He's at First Pentecostal Church in the shrine that's in Abu Dhabi or whatever that shrine is in Israel, the Dome of the Rock. He's in Germany. That don't believe none of that stuff. Because people are looking for his return. The world is going to get so much worse that people are going to be dying for his return. What I mean by that, he needs to come back. It's so bad, and I don't want to go through this, and I don't want to lose my life. And I know the scriptures say when he comes back that we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He says, don't believe none of that stuff. This is what you need to be looking for. Watch for this. Come in a way that Satan can't duplicate. He can't perform this sign. He can't perform this wonder. He don't have the power to put out the sun or to block out the moon or to block out the stars. Everything in my creation is going to bow to me, even the sun, the moon, and the stars. They're going to bow. They're not going to give their light. We're not competing with him. So the only thing you're going to see is him coming in the clouds. Understand that that's what you're supposed to be looking for. Everything else, it just points to a time, but it don't give you the time. Because the exact thing that you should see is me coming from the east to the west. And if you don't see that, if they say I'm already on the earth, You know that ain't me. I'm not knocking at the door. That's a false suitor trying to get you to come and commit fornication with him, pretending to be me. Got a spokesperson like me, and he's going to come and try to get you to sleep with him. So understand that. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Nothing's going to compete with his coming. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Remember when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he started to shine bright like the sun, is brighter than the sun? And then Moses and Elijah showed up with him, but he started to take on his true form. That's how he's going to come, in his true form. He says, you're going to see me coming from the east to the west. And the sun and the moon and the stars ain't going to compete with me. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory. This is what you're supposed to be watching for. Because all that other stuff, don't get excited about it. Don't think that the end is coming because, you know, there's an increase in earthquakes, there's an increase in floods, there's an increase in people dying. Those are sorrows. And they're the beginning of sorrows. But look for this sign right here. Can't nobody repeat this. Can't nobody repeat this. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. They're not gathering from one end of the heaven to the other. So, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. The book of Revelation, chapter 8. Because we want to look at these trumpets. There's going to be a lot of things going on in the world. There's going to be judgment that comes before Messiah returns to get men to repent, to get them to repent. Now, I'm only going to deal with the trumpets on this morning because he's supposed to come at the last trumpet. The last trumpet has a lot of events that go on with it. We don't know the exact day. We don't know the exact hour. I don't. Scripture says I can't know. You can't know. And no man can know. It wasn't even given to Messiah, the Most High in flesh. It wasn't even, he didn't say, I'm not going to reveal it to myself in flesh. Now you got to ask the Most High how he does that. He does that. And I think what a lot of people do, they try to put human attributes, human limitations on the Most High. But the Most High says, I am the Most High, and I do what I will. And I have the power to do it. Not just because I'm the Most High, but it is my nature. I created everything. I can do these things if I want to do them. So he says what he's going to do. Chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And we just want to read these, the seven angels, the seven angels that stand before his throne, the archangels, are the one blowing these trumpets. They're the ones sounding these trumpets. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before Elohim, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before Elohim out of the angel's hand. So these are the elect and their prayers. And they're coming up before Elohim. Elohim, we need help. The enemy is here, and he is killing everybody. Unless the Most High steps in and cuts these days short, all flesh would be lost. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So we are just looking at what's going on in the heavens, and because we're looking for the last trump. Because it says that Messiah would return with the last trump. Didn't say when that's going to be. But we know there's going to be some events that happen. And we know that he's coming in the sky. He's not coming up the, you know, from a woman's womb. He's not going to come as a child again. The sun and the moon and the stars are not going to compete terms. So you go out into the night sky, you won't see a star. You won't see the moon. You won't see the sun. Nowhere on the earth. Nothing's going to compete with his return. Antichrist can't reproduce this. He says, watch. This is what you're watching for. Watch for that sign. Now, in the heavens, what's going on? There's some events going on in heaven. And we got these angels who are given, seven angels, the seven angels that are around his throne, the archangels, are given these trumpets, and they're going to blow. When the last trumpet blows, during that trumpet, Messiah returns. We're not told when that trumpet is going to blow. Okay? But let's read this. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepare themselves to sound, to blow. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Now, when did the Most High do that? He did mix hell and fire in Egypt. But he says, now this is going to be mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. A third part of all the trees and all green grass burnt up. Now, we got forest fires going on in Canada right now. And the wind shifted and changed and blew into America. And all of the Northeast, the air is bad. The sun is kind of dimmed out just from those fires. Now imagine that a third of all the green grass, a third of all the trees are on fire on the earth. Sun would be dimmed out. Do you think that the stars and the moon would be dimmed out? You can't see through those. You wouldn't be able to see through that. And a third of all the green grass on the earth burnt up in the sky. The smoke from them burning is in the sky. And the second angel sounded. And it was as... And let me mute this.
Now in the conference.
Give me a hot second.
Give me a hot second.
There we go. All right, so muted that. Okay. We don't get this echo. And whoever signed in, we want to welcome you. And the second angel sounded, and it was as a great mountain burning. The third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the sea. Think about this. All the oceans. A third of all the life dying in it. Now, we have overfished the oceans as it is. And now they're trying to raise fish on fish farms inside of nets. And these fish are contaminated. They have diseases. And if you eat them, you will get those diseases. Because man is trying to control the environment. And trying to control, hey, we don't need these animals. So we don't care if we kill those as long as we can raise these, because these are the ones that we commonly eat. But everything was made for the planet and has a place on it for this planet to do a job on this planet. So now imagine, the Most High says, now I'm going to throw something into the water. It's going to come from the heavens, and it's going to kill a third of all the sea. Now, when you get into other prophecies, other vials and stuff, you're going to find out that eventually all of the life in the sea is dead. Verse 9. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of destroyed. So this, whatever happens, it's going to create a tidal wave that is going to destroy a third part of all the ships worldwide. It's going to destroy a third part of all the sea life worldwide. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded. So we have the first two angels blowing their trumpet. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the river and upon the fountains of water. So now the fresh water. See, we don't drink ocean water. We drink the waters that are in the rivers and in the lakes and under the earth, that are in the aquifers. Most of us says, yeah, you ain't getting away from that either. What about the poison that too? And the name of the star was called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, corrupted. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So make the waters that you can't drink them. That's what this bitter means. So now we got a third part of all men. Really, it says many men. So I'm not going to add the third part there. Got many men, however many that is, that are going to die. You know, people start talking about you can't drink the water. That alone will tell you, hey, you're going to start being afraid that, hey, I can't drink the water because I don't know if it's going to kill me. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. The third part of the sun, the sun on its own, it started to dim out. If the sun dimmed out by a third, even right now, you would notice a difference. Wow, it don't seem as bright as it used to be. Then a cloud in the sky, and the sun don't seem like it's as bright as it used to be. And the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So now we start getting where the sun, the moon, and the stars start to dim out. So as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not as a third part of it, and the night likewise. So the sun, the daytime, is going to be a third darker. The night is going to be a third darker. And he says that's how it's going to be. Start to dim out. Watch for these things. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So you don't think it's bad enough that the sun, the moon, and the stars have been darkened by a third, their power been turned down, so they are a third darker than they were. A third of all the trees and the grass is burnt up. A third of all the life in the sea is dead. A third of all the ships that bring the goods to and fro between the nations are gone. And not only that, the drinking water is poison. That ain't bad enough. Wait till y'all see what's coming. Wait till you see what's coming. Woe to you. Because of what the next three angels are going to do when they blow. What's going to happen when they blow? And Messiah hasn't returned yet. And it's getting bad. Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now the one that has the key to the bottomless pit is Michael. Michael has the key to the bottomless pit. You read about him in Revelation chapter 20. He has the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. So the earth opens up. This bottomless pit is opened up. And it really sounds like it's going to the core of the earth. We call them volcanoes, the bottom of it. And the heat coming out of it and the smoke coming out of it is like a furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. So now the sun is going to be darkened even more. The moon will be darkened even more, and even the stars even more. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now these locusts aren't normal locusts. These things can be buried in the earth. And they're probably in the earth now, inside the earth, buried deep. They're living under there, but when this bottomless pit is open, they're allowed to come out. And they could be from prehistoric times. They could be before we know. We've never seen them. But the Most High says, I reserve these for such a time as this. Y'all come on out. That's me talking. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, when a scorpion hits you, when it hits you with its stinger, wherever it hits that, it causes it to swell up, and you be in great pain. If it hits you in the ankle, you ain't going to be walking. And as long as you can't walk, you are in pain until this swelling goes down. That could be some days. It could be some months if you can't get it treated. So they have the power like a scorpion. Now these are grasshoppers, locusts, but they got a stinger on them like a scorpion. We ain't nothing like this. Now I saw a spider here in Arizona, a spider that had pincers like a scorpion. It's a spider. I had never seen a spider with pincers. But this one had them. And I was like, whoa, what the hell is that? Scared me. It really did scare me because I had never seen, I didn't even know something like that existed on the earth. But it's already here. It's a spider. It's not a grasshopper. It's not a locust. So I know it's possible. The Bible is describing it. But this is a spider with pincers. You don't have a stinger. No, the Most High says, no, I'm going to release some locusts that have a stinger. You see the grasshoppers that go around in the time? They eat up the crops. You know, we usually don't pay them no attention because they're not in mass. It's just a grasshopper. Now, imagine that it had a stinger. And you didn't run from them before, but now you're going to run. Okay? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Don't eat the grass, neither any green thing. This is what locusts or grasshoppers usually do. They'll come in and eat everything green. If you get a swarm, nothing that is green is safe from them. Trees, bushes, grass, nothing. They just come in and eat it and kill it. So imagine that happened, and he says, don't hurt the grass, don't hurt any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Elohim in their foreheads. The seal of Elohim in their foreheads is the Ruach HaKodesh. You don't have the Ruach, these grasshoppers are going to get you. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Don't kill them. Just hurt them. Put a hurt on them. Make them wish for death. Let's read this. But that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death. We want to die, but we can't die. And shall not find it. And shall desire to die. And death shall flee from them. Get hit by one of these. You know, the only thing that I've heard described like this, anybody that's ever been bitten by a black widow spider. And they're common here in Arizona. And you get bit by one, you wish that you could die. But it ain't going to kill you. The first bite won't kill you. But you will wish you were dead. And people who have been bitten by them, they start going on, you know, a crusade to kill every black widow that they can find. It becomes a passion for them. I need to kill these things because they, you know, they're dangerous. And if that person gets bit again, then it will kill them. Because that black widow, that venom from the black widow spider doesn't leave out of your body. It accumulates. So your body gets used to it, but if you get bit again, then it kills you. Now, it's then with these scorpions, these locusts that have tails like scorpions, people with their tail, and the people are going to wish to die, but they can't die. Okay? And death is going to run away from you. You want to die, but you can't die. Let somebody shoot you in the head or something. Somebody, you know, you intentionally kill yourself, but you won't die from these bites. But you'll wish you were dead. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared for battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman. And their teeth were as the teeth of a lion. And we ain't seen nothing like this. But when they come out of this smoke, you see them. Only way is you're not going to be affected is that you don't have the seal of the Most High on you. You have the seal of the Most High, they won't mess with you. You don't have the seal of the Most High, they're going to hit you and you're going to wish that you could die. But you won't be able to die. And they had breastplates, as it were the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now, if you go online and you look up locust swarming, swarms of locusts, and if they play the sound in the video, it sounds like, you know, a lot of chariots running. It's a loud sound when they're swarming. These locusts are going to also have a hard shell on them. You probably could step on them, and it wouldn't kill them. Probably couldn't smash them with your foot. You're trying to kill them, and you can't. Try to spray them with some Raid, and it probably don't work. And they're going to be coming to get you. Now, all of this, these things, these plagues that are being poured out, all this is happening because the Most High is making one last plea to man. Before he returns, repent. Repent. Now we have, so far, we have a third part of all the trees and the grass, all the green stuff burnt up. We have a third part of everything in the ocean dead. We have a third part of men. We have many men dying from poisoned water. We have a third part of the sun, the moon, and the stars darkened. And actually, we got more than that, because in the next plague, when the pit is opened, you got the sun, the moon, and the stars darkened some more. Okay? Now we got men being tormented for 5 months. And they had, these locusts had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. The angel of the bottomless pit is Satan, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two more hereafter. So you think this is bad for 5 months. Men are going to be tormented with the scorpions, with the locusts that have a sting like a scorpion. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before Elohim, saying, the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound to the great river Euphrates. The river Euphrates is supposed to dry up. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. A third part of men. Whatever the world's population is at this time, a third of it's going to die. If it's 10 billion people in the world at this time, 3.3 billion are going to die. That's a lot of people. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of Jason, and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now that's a vision that I can't even imagine that vision. And by these were the third part of men killed. So this army of 200 million is come, and it's going to destroy a third part of all the men on the earth. This is a world war. By fire and by smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. So we got two-thirds of the earth's population left that were not killed by these plagues, just repented not of the work of their hands. This is what this is all about. It's calling men to repentance. Should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repent they of their murders, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornications, nor of their theft. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, and when as when a lion roared, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now the seven thunders, we're told, we don't know, we're not to be told what they say. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Don't write this down. And if he wrote it down, then that would give us a clue, probably. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that are in are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be a time, there should be time no longer. This is the end of time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh thunder, in the days, it don't happen in a moment, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Elohim should be finished, as he has declared to all his servants the prophets. So this seventh angel, when he's sounding, he's saying this is the end of time. We got to wrap our mind around that. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter, sore stomach. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. This is the end of time. The Most High is going to make one last call to mankind to repent. Both before many people and nations and tongues and kings. So arise, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, outside the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. So there's a court, there's an inner court that's given to Israel, and there's an outer court that is given to the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread, and the holy city shall they tread under 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, these and the two candlesticks standing before Elohim on the Elohim, before the Elohim of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, these two witnesses, and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So these two witnesses are coming, and they're preaching the gospel. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will, as often as they want. And when, so the Most High don't say you can only do this two times. They do it as many times as they want. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now it's giving you an overview. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So Jerusalem, and they of the people and the kindreds of tongues of the nation shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days for their bodies to be put in graves. Messiah still hasn't returned. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Yeah, we got you. We killed you. These beasts killed you, these scorpions, whatever. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from Elohim entered into them. They've been dead 3.5 days. After 3 days, the body starts to break down. And they stood up upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain men of 7,000, and the remainder was affrighted, and gave glory to Elohim in heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third cometh quickly. Sounded. Now we get into the seventh trumpet. The earth is in bad shape. A third of all men have died. A third of everything that is in the ocean is dead. A third of all the waters are poisoned. A third of all the trees and everything green is gone. A third of the sun, or a little bit more than a third of the sun, is blocked out. The moon is blocked out. The stars are blocked out. A third of them. At a time when the sun don't shine as bright as it should, the moon don't shine as bright as it should, and the stars in the night sky don't shine as bright as they should. You have these locusts that have a stinger like a scorpion running around the earth, attacking men but not killing them. But in the end, they kill the two witnesses once their time is up. The Most High says, I'm doing this to call men to repentance. But here my two witnesses are. They've been dead in the street 3.5 days, and nobody bothered to even bury them because men are mad at them because of all the plagues that they brought, because of all the torment that they brought to mankind. So they don't bury them. And then they get up. And the men see it. And they are scared now. And some of them give glory to the Most High. Now we got the seventh. All this has happened. And Messiah hasn't returned yet. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Master, our Lord, and of his Christ. Kingdoms of Yah, and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the four and twenty elders, which sat before Elohim on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped Elohim, saying, we give thanks, O Yah Almighty, O Yah Elohim Almighty, which art and which was and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. He takes rulership. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So this is speaking toward, this is judgment. And the temple of Elohim was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 7 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Now again, the seven trumpets give us the timeline, give us the event. Now it's going to testify about Israel and Messiah. And this is events that have already happened. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. That's telling us the dominion of the dragon, the dominion of Satan. And his tail grew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, or to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto Elohim and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Elohim, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, kingdom of our Elohim, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So this is giving you another overview. Okay. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and time, and a half, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, this is talking about the times of Jake Rubble. The woman the woman that was prophesied about is talking about Israel that brought forth the Messiah. Messiah is not coming again this way, but it's telling you that this is about that same nation, and this is who the dragon is going to come after in these last days. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth or angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. So this is talking about the remnant of Israel, which keep the commandments of Elohim and have the testimony of Yeshua. So they can't just keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, but they also have to have faith in Messiah. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, just like it described that Antichrist had, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is the position that the world is going to take when they follow Antichrist in the end time. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Elohim to blaspheme his name, tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Antichrist has the power to make war with the saints. But according to the Christian church, the saints ain't supposed to be here. They're supposed to have been raptured out. And to overcome them, the power to make war and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who's going to worship him? Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you're going to worship the Antichrist. Simple. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. All those nations that led Israel into captivity, they will go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. He that is patient and has the faith. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. When we see this stuff, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now remember, these other nations came up out of the sea. This one is coming up out of the earth, in the earth. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Remember that this beast is a kingdom that has 10 kingdoms with 10 kings, but it's 7 nations, okay? 7 nations, 10 kings. Now there's an 8th one, and he's coming up out of the earth. He takes power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. They're going to think that this is coming from God, from the Most High, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound of by a sword and did live. Now, again, this is giving us an overview. Okay? And so, but Messiah still hasn't told us that Messiah has returned. It says that Messiah's returned, it says that it's the end of time. But then people read the rest of these verses and think that they fit in after that. No, these are going to happen during the seventh trumpet. Many ask not to worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in the right hand of their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And that number is 666. 666. First, Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, many people, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. Now the four beasts, these are nations. And no man could learn the song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. Virgins, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and unto the Lamb. And in their mouths was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. In Matthew, that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached before the end comes. So the seven vials, the seven trumpets, what we're reading here, all this stuff goes together. But John is reporting it because the significance of all the events, he separates each portion of the event into separate scripture, but I believe we got to go back and line those things up so that we can tell what's actually happening. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim, this is the gospel. Fear Elohim and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. Follow another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What is the wine of the wrath of her fornication? That man can rule man better than God can rule man. The government of men have fallen. And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worships the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yah from henceforth. This is again giving us an overview of the last 7 years. Messiah does not come until the last trump. And he does not come until the end of the time. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yah or in Yeshua from this moment forward, henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. Wait a minute. I thought that they were supposed to be in heaven. Through a lot of teachings of the Galilean marriage. When Messiah returns, he takes the bride and they go into the bride chamber and they have the feast for 7 years. But we see right here that the voice in heaven is telling us that blessed are the dead which die in Messiah from henceforth, from this time forward. Because Antichrist is going to be killing them. Yea, to say it's the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. We're going to stop here, and we're going to pick this up on this evening in verse 14. Because I'm going to show you in verse 14, 15, and these other chapters, that you see when Messiah, you can't tell the exact time, but you see that Messiah comes and he reaps out of the earth. And then another angel comes and reaps the unrighteous. And the one that the second angel reaps, they are condemned to the wrath of the Most High, the winepress of his wrath. He's going to take out his anger on them. But Messiah still hasn't come. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. Cannot love you like the Most High loves you. We need to put ourselves in a position that we fear the Most High, that we are watchful of all these events, that we don't worry about wars and rumors of wars, because the Most High says we don't worry about those things. The Most High says that we are to watch, say, if they say, lo, he is over here, or if they say, lo, he is over there, if they say, he's in the synagogue, if they say, he's in the sanctuary, if they say, he's in the most holy place, wherever they say, he is, don't believe it. Because you're going to know his coming. You're going to know when he comes because you're going to see him coming in the sky. The sun and the moon and the stars are not going to compete with him. They're going to bow down to him. Just down on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is going to split in four. So we'll get into the rest of this on this evening. Remember, all these things are going to happen before his return. The earth is going to be in bad shape because the Most High wants all men to come into repentance. He wants them to come into repentance. Come on, play a song. And this song just humbles me. I pray that it humbles you. I pray that you go before the Most High and you ask him to strengthen you, to give you a heart and a mind, to follow and worship him and keep his commandments, that this day doesn't take you unaware, that you know what to watch for, that you don't get upset. You know, I don't really watch the news that much because those things, everything is going to get worse and worse and worse. But he tells us what we're to watch for. Watch for him in the sky. That's the sign that you should be watching.
Renew a right. shout your life praise. Sacrifice you don't desire, but a broken heart of praise.
You made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? One time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishraka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Brother Miles, our lights went out.
Oh, amen.
Oh, amen.
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 I wonder what happened to you.
But I got my lesson on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all be the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So see you guys this evening, and to all everyone else that listens. Hope to see you this evening.
Shalom.
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 Shalom.